Michael Charlton talks to His Highness the Aga Khan, world leader of the Ismaili Muslims.
Your Highness, how did the Ismaili sect acquire its importance in the first place?
I think it's been a historical development in the sense that the Ismaili sect has existed for many centuries. It has been a closely knit sect. It has been a sect which has had its own interpretation of Islam. It has produced states in the sense that Fatimid Egypt was Ismaili. And over centuries, I think that it's a sect which has developed its influence through a number of areas, its approach to Islam, its philosophy. It has a philosophy which is very interesting, very different from other sects of Islam. The technicians call it an esoteric interpretation.
How esoteric? Is it extremely nonconformist in comparison with the rest of Islam?
I wouldn't say it's nonconformist. I would say that there is a search to find a meaning in Islam which allows the individual a particularly intimate role of participation in the practice of the faith.
Islam was such a galaxy compared with even with Christianity, whose sects are multitudinous. And the turning points in it seem to have come much earlier, would you agree, than they did in Christianity? Christianity has a much slower rhythm of change. And when did the turning point as far as the Ismailis come, and why was it necessary?
It was the sixth generation after Ali, where the Imam of the time, called Ja'far as-Sadiq, had four sons. Ismail was the eldest. And the seven Shia, and the Ismailis of seven Shia, followed the branch of the family led by Ismail, and that's why they're called Ismailis.
And which century is this in the Christian calendar?
Oh, it must be, I find it difficult to work back, but it must have been around the
8th century AD.
Eighth, between the 8th and 9th century AD, that's right.
And when you speak of 12ers and 7ers, well, basic division...
Maybe I can explain this to you. At the time the Prophet died, the understanding of nationhood or state didn't exist. It was an empire which had been created by Islam, and there was a division amongst the Muslims as to what was to happen at the death of the Prophet. The Shia at that time maintained that the Prophet had nominated Ali to succeed him. The Sunni took a different point of view, and of course Abu Bakr became the first caliph. The Shia thesis was that the imamate, the religious leadership, which at that time was also the state leadership, was to continue within the Prophet's family.
And your own descent as head of Ismailis today...
Is from Ismail.
And where do you rank?
49th.
You're the 49th imam.
Yes.
But what was the political context which dictated the appearance of a sect calling themselves Ismailis?
The question was, the Shia Muslims did not agree on who was to be the successor to Ja'far as-Sadiq. And that time they divided. Now, since then, there have been other divisions, of course. It's a practically normal historical thing.
But was that itself a cloak and a mask for, in fact, a war between nation states in what was at this time the last empire, wasn't it, of the ancient world, the great Arab Empire?
I think that is not correct in the sense that the Ismaili movement did not begin as a political movement. What may have begun as a partial issue, and it's extremely difficult to establish because nothing was written at the time. The Quran itself was memorized. But at the time of the death of the Prophet, what was the ingredients of the division between the Shia and the Sunni is not really entirely clear. Because all we have today is literature which is based on repetition of what was said, the hadith in a sense.
And how relevant is that basic division to contemporary politics?
Very relevant indeed. In the sense that the 12er, I think there is only one 12er Shia state as such, which is Iran. Within the Islamic context, the relationship is about, I think, 80% Sunni and 20% Shia. Of countries which have large numbers of Shia, there are, of course, Iran, Iraq, India, Pakistan. The Middle East had a substantial number of Shia, of course, at one time, Egypt, Yemen, etc.
Why is the sect of which you are the 49th Imam, incidentally, what, 10, 15 million Muslims, why is it so dispersed?
The community has always been a mobile community. It's also a community which has expanded in various parts of the world, particularly the Indian subcontinent. The Indians themselves have moved around, and therefore members of the community went to East Africa, for example.
But that is an essentially modern development.
That's a modern development.
Due to commerce and the colonial powers in the 18th and 19th century?
Yes, and due to the fact that a lot of the Ismailis, for example, in India, came from parts of India where it was difficult for people of Islam to survive at that time.
And what explains the wanderings of the leader of this great sect? Why has the imamate itself been peripatetic? Quite recently it was in India with your famous grandfather, the Aga Khan. After that in Switzerland, now in France.
Well, I think there again the imam has always moved right from the time of Hazrat Ali, in fact. In the circumstances today, the imamate as an institution, I think, is freer to be effective in its work based in a country which is not involved in or potentially involved in turmoil and which is traditionally sympathetic to Islam.